Welcome to the Medical Journal of Australia podcast. The MJA is Australia's top peer-reviewed general medical journal, publishing groundbreaking research to the medical community since 1914. My name is Kate Swanell, and I am the MJA's news and online editor. Baby brain is something pregnant women have been talking about and joking about since women started getting pregnant. But is it something that can be quantified? Associate Professor Linda Byrne is the co-author of a meta-analysis which suggests that it can be. Linda is a neuroscientist and deputy head of the School of Psychology at Deakin University, and she is my guest today. All right, let's talk baby brain. Is it a real thing? We hear a lot of jokes about it, you know, and mothers-to-be make jokes about the way their brain's functioning when they're pregnant, but is it a real measurable thing?
Yeah, it certainly is. So it's that experience where women who are pregnant and more forgetful, or maybe they feel like they're mentally not as on the ball. But it's definitely a real thing that many pregnant women experience. In terms of how many women report it, we believe that it's actually quite high, certainly if we're talking about subjective memory complaints. That is, if you ask a pregnant woman whether she's experiencing problems, it's very high. But we know from the research that it affects probably about 80% of women in terms of subjective reports of cognitive problems during pregnancy.
Okay, and how bad can it get? How much can it affect a woman's life?
Well, it really depends. If we're talking about subjective complaints, then that's a very difficult thing to say because people go, oh, yes, I forget things all of the time. But if we're talking about when we measure what's going on, so we can measure these things, and certainly our meta-analysis has done exactly that. Well, it's actually taken the results of 20 very robust studies and had a look at what they found. And so when we look at the measurable effects, certainly there are differences between pregnant women and non-pregnant women in terms of their cognitive functioning. And those differences are significant, so they're not just small differences, but the differences are still what we call within the levels of normal functioning. So we're not talking about massive deficits here, massive differences where we call it to be a real problematic cognitive impairment. So what we're talking about, the most obvious difference and the largest measurable difference is in the area of memory, and that's not surprising. That's the thing that women complain most about, and that's the thing that's most affected. But we're talking about differences that would put them in what we would call, say, the low average range, so still in the area of normal functioning. So it would be obvious to the woman themselves and possibly to those people that are very close to them. So if the person's partner knew how they function normally, then they might notice that they were a little bit more forgetful. But in terms of actually impact on things like jobs or day-to-day life, probably not very much impact at all.
Okay. Do we know much about the mechanism of what's going on? Do we know what's causing it?
We don't really know what's causing it. So a lot of the studies that have looked at cognitive functioning haven't necessarily controlled for a large number of things that can impact. So, for example, when women are pregnant, there are all of the physiological things that are going on. So there are things like morning sickness and sickness throughout the pregnancy and just the impact of having this major life change. It also has an impact on us as well. But we do know from some research that there are actually grey matter brain changes that do occur during pregnancy.
Okay.
And so there's actual loss of brain matter during pregnancy that is recorded and that is real. And there was a study that was published and very widely cited last year that showed that there were these real differences. But the interesting thing is that brain volume loss doesn't mean that women have doesn't necessarily mean that that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
So the brain loses volume at all kinds of times life point as it becomes more specialised. So while we don't know for sure, the theory is that during pregnancy, when women is being exposed to lots of hormonal changes, that what we're seeing is some way that the brain's going through some sort of specialisation, getting it prepared to be a mum. And so that's what we think, because there's at least one study that shows that those changes highly associated, really strongly correlated with things around bonding to the baby. So that that brain loss, or grave volume loss, is associated with the level of bonding that the woman has with her baby, or the way that she feels about the baby during her pregnancy. And interestingly, when you track those brain changes, what we find is that volume loss that happens in the hippocampus, that area of the brain that's responsible for memory functioning, while it decreases during pregnancy, if we follow the women post-pregnancy, 2 years later, we find that that hippocampal volume loss is no longer apparent. So, and that's what we find as well, that these cognitive changes are certainly not persistent beyond the pregnancy.
Okay. Tell us a little about this, and a little about this analysis you've done. Why did you feel the need to do it?
Well, because no one had really looked at cognitive functioning across a range of areas. There was a meta-analysis that was done in 2007 that looked specifically at memory, and that's a little while ago now, and certainly there's been some more good research that's come out, longitudinal, cross-sectional studies that look at more things than just memory. And so we wanted to have a look at whether, in fact, there were these changes that were detectable across a range of areas aside from memory. And also we wanted to have a look at whether there was any evidence around what stage during the pregnancy these changes occurred.
Okay.
And so what we found by looking at this is that there certainly were changes in women, that the most pronounced changes were in fact in memory performance, but there were also some subtle but measurable changes in executive functioning. Now, executive functioning, these those higher order kinds of skills that include things like planning and organisation, multitasking and mental flexibility. So those kinds of things that control a lot of our other cognitive abilities. So there were some changes in that in favour of non-pregnant women. And also we found that there were detectable changes across other areas of cognitive functioning, more broad areas. So it was kind of a pooled area because the studies that we looked at included a lot of tests from a wide range of areas. So we sort of put those together as more general kinds of things. So that might include things like language abilities, visuospatial abilities, but there were no strong effects. So this was just a more of the other kinds of tests that were grouped together.
Okay. And I'm interested in the differences between the trimesters. What did you find in terms of what stage baby brain develops or goes away or stabilises?
So what we found, if we look at the cross-sectional studies, so that's where there is a snapshot at one time point, we found that the greatest differences were between pregnant women and non-pregnant women in the third trimester. So that's where the largest differences were seen.
Okay.
If we then have a look at the longitudinal studies, so those studies that follow the women across their pregnancy, what we find is that there is a decline that seems to happen in the first trimester. So between the first and second trimester, there's a decline, and then things tend to stabilize. So you can't detect the differences between the second and third the second and third trimester.
Okay.
So there is the changes are happening early, with the greatest difference being when we look at women in their third trimester.
Okay. If, as you said earlier, that the loss of brain volume is associated in some ways with getting a mother ready for the baby, you know, for bonding, can you kind of say this is a good thing? that having baby brain is probably a pretty good sign?
Yeah, look, I think that the message that we really need to get there is that it's not a problem. It's a real thing, but it's not a problem in terms of that there's something that is degenerative going on with a woman's brain during this time.
Right.
I think that what it is, it's telling us that the body is getting ready, the woman's getting ready in order to take care of a little person that's about to come along.
Mm-hmm.
But also remember that while there's certainly grey matter changes that are likely to be preparing us in an evolutionary sense for becoming a parent, there are also many other things that are going on when we're pregnant that we can't necessarily control for and do these studies. So the simple fact of the kind of changes that the woman is going to experience as a result of that, the things of just feeling different during pregnancy, there are many other things that we're worrying about, which makes sense that we then can't necessarily concentrate on everything as well as we might normally concentrate, because we've got more important things to worry about.
Yes, it's your brain prioritising.
That's right.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's not something we need to fix at all.
No.
But having said that, there are certainly things that a woman can do to try and minimise the effect of these kinds of changes as well.
Mm.
So they're the sorts of things that we can do. Things that are really important is that fatigue obviously plays a big part in our cognitive functioning. So sleep hygiene is really, really important. And particularly in the first and last trimester, where in the first trimester when you have the massive surges of hormones and you're feeling unwell, and in the last trimester when you're large and uncomfortable, those are the two periods where people tend to report more fatigue. So, and making sure that you're well rested is really important. That's going to improve your cognitive abilities.
Okay.
The second thing is obviously maintain good nutrition and exercise habits as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, pregnant women need to consult with their doctors about their exercise routine, but it's important, just like at any other stage of our life, to stay active. Staying active, eating well, sleeping well, all of that is going to minimise the impact of those kind of memory problems.
Okay.
Then, of course, the last thing that we can do is to use memory aids. So things like we're lucky these days with our smartphones that we can program reminders, making lists of things as well. So even people that once had relied upon their memory quite easily, making lists and writing reminders is a good way of just making sure that if there are important things that we're not going to miss those.
Okay.
And I guess in a related area, multitasking. We all know that women are generally terrific at multitasking, but perhaps if they're experiencing this kind of fogginess, it might be the time to try and just concentrate on one big task at a time, finish that, then go on to the next one.
Well, there you go. So no more jokes. It's a thing.
It's a real thing. It's definitely a real thing. But look, the amount that someone would experience it, it will really be very individual. So certainly as a psychologist who specialised in cognitive assessment, I've personally heard from many women that tell me that their memory was affected during pregnancy. But when I test them, their memory is as good as we would expect for someone their age. And certainly we've all heard from our mums or our friends or experienced ourselves that mental fogginess that comes with being pregnant and forgetting things a little bit more than we thought before.
Yeah.
But in terms of real objective problematic impact on our life, it's probably very minimal. It's important to note that this has certainly confirmed that memory is the most problematic thing, that we know that it probably changes across the life of the pregnancy. But there are other areas as well, certainly not to the extent of memory. And so that's new in the research world. We haven't really known before whether, in fact, this problem goes beyond memory and how pervasive the memory problems actually. I guess the other thing that comes out of it is that while we've established that there are these changes, we then haven't really looked beyond pregnancy. So tracking more closely, because there aren't that many longitudinal studies that have looked at this. So I think it's really important, and this is where our research is going next, to look at prior to pregnancy actually occurring, and then during the pregnancy, and then following up after, so that we can see what is the trajectory of these changes, what are the extent of the changes, and then how afterwards do we go back to having that normal cognitive functioning? I think those are the really important things that are coming out of this kind of research, that we need to know more about the stages and potentially what's causing it as well.
Thanks for your time, Linda.
Okay, thanks, Kate.
My thanks to my special guest today. Don't forget that all our podcasts are open access and available at www.mja.com.au/podcasts. Or you can subscribe to our feed at iTunes. My name's Kate Swanell, and we'll see you next time.